especially in the New Testament, there are three major holidays. There are many holidays, but there are three major holidays that are like building stones or events, building one on top of the other, that are very important to the life of the Christian. Pardon me? My wife's trying to communicate. Am I mumbling? That's why I have a microphone. The first, of course, is the birth of our Savior. And Christmas is truly a universally recognized holiday across all nations. The second is the death of Christ for our sins and His resurrection 3 days from the grave. And again, Easter is another recognized Christian holiday around the world. Today is the day of Pentecost, known in some circles as the birth of the Christian church. I say known in some circles because in some churches it's not recognized at all. And in other churches, it's known as the day when the fire of the Holy Spirit, or as if you're really old-timey known, when the Holy Ghost came upon us. And I'm not trying today to downgrade the importance of the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, because without that glorious gift from God, this third event would never have taken place. Christ died for us so that we could have eternal life given. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, when we ask for the forgiveness of sins, we are born into the body of Christ, becoming one of our Lord's, and that is joy that we as believers have. That is true. But this third event, this gift, this empowering of the Spirit, as proclaimed by Christ Himself in Acts 1, 5, and 8. For without the Holy Spirit, we would be powerless, if not useless, as Christians. It is both the sacrifice of the cross and the coming of the Holy Spirit that defines our lives as Christians. It does very little good to have one without the other. And I read an article that just absolutely amazed me. Most Christians, and now I'm talking across the board in America, most Christians in their lifetime invite less than 5 people to ever come to their church. Most Christians, I'm talking average, ever witness to more than one person the saving news of Jesus Christ in their whole lifetime. Yet as important as the Spirit is, I got news for you. He is the most misunderstood of all the members of the Trinity. Often, many churches don't even associate the Spirit as being a being or a person as we do with the Father or with the Son. To many, the work, the person, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit is cloaked in some sort of mystic mystery. He is often, or the Spirit is often referred to only as it. Because nowhere in Scripture is a gender defined to are in reference to the Spirit, making, I guess, the other two members of the Trinity much easier to identify with. We have little problems relating to God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. It is easy to understand the concept of Father, since we all have had one, although for some of us whose earthly father missed the mark, so to speak, that has created a whole other issue of a kettle of fish. He is the person who is in charge, making the important decision. He is the one who cares for the family and provides for them. And now I'm speaking in a normative household. Jesus, our Savior and friend, it is not difficult to identify with him because he was totally human. He had a mother and a father just like we do. He was flesh and blood because a flesh and blood person just as we are. And his sacrifice for us draws us close to him and gives us a special bond. The word does say he suffered and was tempted in every way as we are. But the Spirit of God, just as much as Jesus is and the Father is, the Spirit has an individuality. And if we can wrap our concept around that, he has knowledge, he has sympathy, he has an ability to love, to see, and to think. He can hear, he can speak, he can desire, he can grieve, he can rejoice. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity, and he is always present. From the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit has existed. The Hebrew word for spirit and the Greek word for spirit both mean breath. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was there in the beginning. In Genesis 2:6, and the Spirit of God, he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And hundreds of other passages concerning the breath and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God and the breath of life are one in the same. What we've got to understand, saints of God, as long as there's been a God, there's been a Spirit. The two words, breath and Spirit of God, are interchangeable. And the Holy Spirit was part of creation. Adam became a living being because of the Spirit. The Spirit has always been with us. But it was only, but until Jesus came and died for us, rather, he did not dwell with people outside of Adam when he entered Adam and created life. We read throughout the Old Testament about the persons who were filled suddenly with the Spirit. First King, we read about Elijah having the power of the Lord come upon him and outrunning Ahab in his chariot. Or in Judges 15:14, the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson in power, and how he killed 1,000 men using the jawbones of an ass. The difference between the Old Testament people and those who receive the Spirit today is that the Old Testament Spirit, the Spirit would come upon the people for a purpose and for a short time, giving them great power or wisdom or strength, and then would depart. Now we have that same power, that same strength, that same spirit, but living in us all times. Jesus promised us this in John 14:16-18, when he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Notice Christ's words here. He says the Spirit will be the helper and will be with you forever. That he abides with you and will be with you. The Greek word abide here literally means that he will stay in place in a relation or expectancy, that he will remain and tarry forever. This means that the Spirit lives within us and is here to stay. The Holy Spirit gives us power to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what happened to the disciples before and after they received the Holy Spirit. These men who had been with Jesus for 3 years, they have lived with him, eaten with him, slept with him, talked with him, listened to his teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yet when Jesus was crucified, where did we find them? Hiding behind closed doors, afraid. Even after Jesus rose and appeared to them and hundreds of others, we did not see them running around the streets proclaiming the gospel. In fact, if we go to John's gospel, the 20th chapter, we find this. You remember John's gospel. Jesus had gone out and found the men heading out of town, running away, and he had redirected them back to town. And they were up in the room hiding, and Jesus, with the doors closed, and Jesus appeared in the room. And when he got to the room, he came in through closed doors. And the first thing he said to them wasn't, so where were you when I was on the cross? You ran out on me. He didn't bring condemnation. The first thing he said to them is, peace be with you. And then he repeated it again, like when I'm ready to do announcements and I say, I try to get your attention, peace of the Lord. I say it again. He says, peace be with you again. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this issue among many of you that you go, well, I must not have the Holy Spirit because I'm not manifesting anything. I don't speak in tongues, so I must not have the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all have told me that. Now, if Jesus says to you, receive the Holy Spirit, do you think you have the Holy Spirit? Well, let me ask you this. These men were gathered in a room, and Jesus came and appeared to them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you think they had the Holy Spirit? Did they manifest anything? No, not for some time. They didn't change one iota. In fact, it was much later when they were back in that room when the Holy Ghost came, and they were then filled. So I'm just trying to give you a side note here. Don't get caught up by being caught up that because you're not acting like someone else acted, that doesn't mean the Spirit of God is not on you. If Jesus said to you, be filled, I got a feeling these guys were pretty filled, but they weren't manifesting yet. So Jesus appeared to them and said, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever sins you retained, they are retained. So, peace be with you. The first thing we need to know is Christ comes to us in a situation where we are befuddled, concerned, confused, frustrated, burnt out, chewed up, spit out, whatever. And the first thing Christ does, he doesn't come as the accuser. He comes and says, peace be with you. The other day I got a call from someone. And the accuser of the brethren had come on them. And then self-accusation, self-talk. And the first thing I could say is, shut up, self-talk. Peace be with you. I just read this. I was studying. I just read this. And so I got to use it. Let's stop self-talk. Let's realize the accuser of the brother is who he is. Christ never accuses us. We can't get anywhere in the Holy Spirit if we're going to listen to the accuser of the brethren. These disciples had all rejected Christ. They had all turned away. Peter had denied him. Only John had been at the cross. Everybody else had boogied out of town or hidden in a room or done whatever. They had all denied Christ in one way or the other. They were all guilty and should have been crispy critters. And Christ came and said, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give you I. I'm not blaming you. You're human. You did what humans do. You went and messed in your you know, you goofed. But I give you peace. Receive the Holy Spirit. So this call I got, and first I spent the first 10 minutes praying just for peace and rebuking the devourer. And the person settled down, and then we could deal with the railing accusations. We need to learn, saints of God, that the accuser of the brethren is not Jesus Christ. When you get into self-doubt and self-talk, we need to stop and listen to the microphone, the computer that's talking. And we need to learn to shut up and stop it. And what does Christ say? Christ says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Once we have peace, then we can claim what the Word of God says, that we can do all things in Jesus Christ. John 20 says, receive the Holy Spirit. Be more than you are. That's the message that Jesus was telling. On the day that Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, receive the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything with it yet. He says, don't do anything with it yet. Receive it. Let it mature in you.